I mean, just as they say, for example, that, what's his name, Leif Erikson, came over and settled in a place called Vineland or Vinland. Mm-hmm. They don't know exactly where it's located, whether it's Cape Cod or whether it's Nova Scotia or whatever it may be. But they know, you know, that he was already in the Western Hemisphere centuries before Columbus came.
If we can really find proof of the Jews having been here before, we can say it's an American Medina.
A Yiddish Medina.
We can lay claim to it as a colony of Israel.
It's not going to help us, because look at the Indians. They were also original Americans. And
then how they were
that.
Treated, yes. Nope.
Okay.
No. We have enough problems.
Yeah.
Any problem. All right.
So anyway, another interpretation says, "Hinini Yosef Hadosha Atotitzmach." Okay, Yeshayahu says again. He says, "Behold, I am going to create something new, and now it will come to pass. Literally, it will, you know, blossom forth." Right. Tani Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef applied this particular pasuk. He says, "Zu milchemes Gog u'Magog." He says this applies to the war that will be waged by Gog and Magog. Mm-hmm. Now this, of course, is a traditional term, meaning when all the nations of the world are going to try to gang up against Israel, and this is the prelude to the Moshe Mashiach.
Mm.
And therefore many people have identified the Holocaust and what took place in the Second World War and so on as Milchemes Gog and Magog. And that is the precursor to the Moshe Mashiach, which the beginning of it is the establishment of the state of Israel, or as we refer to it sometimes, we say it is the Haskalta de Geula. It is the beginning of
the Geula,
the redemption, the ultimate redemption.
What's the first word?
Haskalta. That's Aramaic, for Hatchala. Yeah. Haskalta de Geula. Right. The beginning of
Hatchala
the.
Hatchala is beginning.
Yeah, it's called Techila, right,
okay.
Or Hatchala, and so on. The word means begin, okay? Right, so that this is the beginning of the ultimate redemption. So there are people who identify the Second World War and the Holocaust as Zumilchomis Gog u'Magog.
And
all
it's
right.
True that the nations of the world are ganging up on it.
Yeah, absolutely, they continue, unfortunately. So they say, Moshe l'mo adov adomeh. Give you a parable, they say. What can you compare it to? It's Le'odem Shehoya Mahalech Baderech. Man was walking on the way, Ufogabo Ze'ev, and a wolf attacked him, Benitzal Mimeno, and he was saved from it. Behoyom Esape Vehodech Masei Ze'ev. And he kept on telling everybody, about the story of the wolf, okay? How he was attacked, how he was saved, etc., etc. Pogabo Ari. And then all of a sudden, what happened? A lion attacked him. Benitzal Mimeno, and he was saved from it. So, Behoyim Esape Vehodech Masei Ari. Now, what was his story? The story about the lion. In other words, what happened to the story about the bear, the wolf? Shefageson, right? And because the more recent thing is the thing that sticks in his mind. Then, Pogabay Nochosh, after that, what's the next thing that happened?
Snake,
right, attacked him. Benitzal Mimeno.
And he was Nitzel.
Yeah. So Shochach Masei Shneihem. So he forgot about both of them. In other words, all the two previous things, the wolf and the lion. And he kept on telling everybody about the story of how the snake attacked him. So Kach Yisrael. So the same thing is true for the people of Israel. And this is a famous line. It says Tzoros Achronos. The Tzoros that we have.
Currently.
At the end, in other words, the more recent Tzoros, Mishakchos is Harishonis. They cause us to forget about the former ones that we went through.
Well, I don't, it's funny, is there anything that, you look, I'm wasting more time, but I think we'll get to the result pretty soon. But, it's a very interesting philosophia, but what do we really make the most mention of? Interesting, in our lives, Chagim, we actually make the most mention of
Zechel Etzias
Mitzrayim. Isn't that interesting?
Right.
The destruction of Herpon and the first temple, I don't know how many of the Amcha really could remember it, tell you what happened, but
Well, nevertheless,
well,
we are continually praying that the bias should be rebuilt again.
Yeah, but
right?
I think the
true.
Reason for that
true.
Is...
True, no. I know, but let's see out Mitzrayim.
No. The reason for that is if, we,
no.
if God didn't take us out of Egypt,
true, I,
we would
I mean,
always
I'm
be
saved.
Oh, it's like a cornerstone, so to
that's
speak.
That's right. It's,
yeah.
the, it's the beginning of everything
yeah.
for us as a nation.
Now, but why, perhaps that's because the Torah, so much of it concerns, you know, with Siat Mitzrayim and being in the Midbar, but I don't know, but it's truthfully, it's very interesting. It's kind of turned on its head.
Right.
You know? I mean,
yeah, you're right. I mean, from the point of view of actually what do? You're right. I mean, we do make mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim again and again and again and again. There's no question about it.
How about with Siat Mitzrayim? In other words,
yeah.
how many people tell about the sorrow that happened 4,000 years later about, I guess, probably
right.
maybe
yeah.
3,000, 1,300.
I mean, look, we've had persecution after persecution.
You don't
persecution.
Say it,
right,
but
right,
let's
right.
see.
Right.
It's a very interesting thing. Very
yeah.
interesting
yeah.
thing.
Well, I still think
of course, the whole spate of literature today is about Holocaust literature.
Yes, this is true. This,
yeah.
this
yeah.
I just say...
But nevertheless, I mean, for those who have, you know, for those of us who have some perspective upon Jewish history in general, the Holocaust was horrible, but unfortunately you can find parallels to it, you know, in earlier episodes in
yeah.
Jewish history, too.
First.
No question about it.
The Crusades, where they... Where they
right,
they
Crusades
they
in Spain, and
Melnitsky's
time in Russia, you know, in 1648-49. Horrible slaughters that took place over there.
And that proves that really
yeah.
is the proof of what we're saying now. That the thing that's more recent in our minds is the one that we all talk about and write about and read about now.
Yes,
and that's the Holocaust because
right.
it's the most recent one.
Right, but nevertheless,
prior to that,
Maskirim Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, we have to remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Well,
it is one of the cornerstones.
Yeah, but prior to that, I'm sure your father and my father were talking about the pogroms in Europe and Russia and Poland
no
and so on. And they could talk about that endlessly, about the terrible, terrible times they had there.
People are doing a very good job of convincing me, you know. You're just pushing me back. I mean, it's true. I have to say, you're right. I mean, it's very true.
But
maybe
it proves what they say, that we did the latest
very
episode.
Very latest thing
is
maybe it's worth kind of your mind. All right, that's true. That's enough. Right.
We
okay.
still
but it's a nice phrase to remember. It's Soros Achronos.
Sarah Achronos.
Right, Mishakos is Arishonos.
S Arishonos.
S Arishonos.
Sarah Arishonos.
The later Sarahs that we have, the more recent one, causes to forget the previous ones.
Mishakos. Mishakos is Arishonos.
Right. Okay. So since we were talking about Yankiv Avinu and the fact that his name was changed to
Yisrael,
so the Gemara now continues by talking about
Avram.
Says Avram, who Avraham?
Yeah.
Okay. This we find, of course, this is actually a quotation taken from Divrei Hayamim, from the beginning of Chronicles over there. Avram, who Avraham? That Abram is Abraham. In other words, the same one who is Abraham. Bitchilo, and they explain, at first, Naseov la Avram. Avram, they say, he is an Av, and also Aram. In other words, first he was like a father to Aram. In other words, he became like a, you know, the most important person, the founding father for Aram. Why Aram? Because don't forget, he was not born in Eretz Israel. So first he was, right,
Aram.
He was the exalted father, so to speak, you know, in Aram. But if so, but eventually, he became the father to the entire world. Likewise, Sarai, he's Sarah. Right? Sarai is Sarah. So, Bitchilo, Nase Sarai, at first she was Sarai, which of course means, you know, my princess. In other words, she was only the princess of whom? The Umasa, of her own people, of her own nation. But if so, eventually, Nase Sarah, she became princess l'chol ha'olam kulo, to the entire world. So this is the significance of the name Avram changed to Abraham, and Sarai to Sarah. Tani bar Kapora. Bar Kapora taught as follows. He says, Kol ha'korei li Avraham, Avram, whoever calls Avram over Ba'asa, he says he is transgressing an affirmative commandment. Remember, you know, we have mitzvahs aseh, mitzvahs leisaseh, right? So mitzvahs aseh is do this or that. So the question
positive
is,
commandment.
Right, positive commandment. So what is the positive commandment over here? Shenema, it's written, V'hoyo shimcha Avraham. Rabbeinu Shel Olam said, your name is to be Avraham. So if you call him now Avram instead of Avraham, then you are transgressing a mitzvah saseh, according to Bar Kapara. To Rabbi Elazar.
Rabbi Elazar,
right. Okay. Next. That was Bar Kapor. Okay. Now there's another idea, you know, the same line. All right, Rabbi Yezer in there. Rabbi Yezer says, Oyver Balav. He is transgressing a negative commandment. What is the negative commandment? Shenema. The loyikorei od shimcha Avraham, elo, right? The loyikorei od shimcha Avraham, that your name will no longer be called Avram. So if you call him Avram, then you are violating a negative commandment. Of course, the question is whether this is really to be considered a mitzvah commandment or not, whether mitzvah saseh, mitzvah seisaseh. But you have to realize that while this is not listed among the 613 commandments, but it's a drash which both of these authorities, you know, are trying to impress upon you that you shouldn't act slightingly towards Avraham by calling him
Avram.
Avram, his former name. Elamiyato, so the other Gemara says, well, that being the case, Hakoyle Sora Sorai Hokinami. So, if you call Sora Sarai, aren't you violating the same, the same transgressions? Aren't you? That is, aren't you, committing the same transgressions, right? So, the Gemara says, Hasam Kucha Berichu Amali Avraham, right? There, where it's written, you know, that the, Velo Yikarei Od Shimcha Avram. Who was it who said your name will no longer be Avram? Right. It was Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So in that case, there's like the aspect of a mitzvah. In other words, you are violating God's law, God's own statement, so to speak, if you call him Avram. But with the case of Sarah, right, okay, all right. Hasam, we said, Kusha Bechu Omal Avraham, right?
Right.
So, in the case of Sarah, it was, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said to Avraham, Sorai Ishtecho Lo Sikra Eshema Sorai Ki Sorah. It was the Rabbeinu Shel Olam telling only Abraham, don't call your wife anymore Sorai, but rather Sorah. So in other words, this is not a prohibition, you know, for any being. It was only that Avraham was told, don't call her anymore that. Okay?
So who was God talking to when he changed Avram's name to Avraham?
Well, he changed it. He was speaking to Abraham at that time. But the point is, the difference is, you know, that in one case, it is couched as if it were an actual commandment. And the other one, he's only speaking privately to Avraham, not to call his wife Sarai. Elamiyato. So now they say, okay, good. So now we know that you're transgressing, right? If you call Avraham Avram, and Sarai also shouldn't be referred to anymore as Sarai, but she should be referred to as Sarah. So, Achinami, So Elamiyata, in that the case, then Akur the Yaakov, Ochinami. So in that case, we would say that whoever calls Yaakov, instead of calling him now
Israel,
so he's also transgressing, right? So the Gemara says no, Shani Hasan. In the case of Yaakov, it's different. Why? The Hoda Ahadre Kro, because the Torah itself continued afterwards to call him
Yaakov.
Dichsiv, as is written, by Yomer Lehim the Yisrael of Maros Halaylo, that God spoke to Israel in a vision at night, by Yomer, and he said to him, Yaakov, Yaakov. So obviously, if the Rebbeinu Shalom continues to speak to Yaakov as Yaakov and not calling him Yisrael, so it means that in that case you're not violating anything by calling him Yaakov, even after this change of name to Yisrael. Masiv Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Mi'itema Rabbi Yossi bar Zavido. There are those who say that a rejoinder was given by Rabbi Yossi, the son of Avin, and others say it was Rabbi Yossi, the son of Zavido. It's written in the Pasuk Atohu Hashem Elokim, you are the Lord God, Asher Bachata B'Avram, who has chosen Avram. In other words, over here, what do we find? We find that even though this is later in the Bible, but they're still referring to him as Avram, so that therefore we shouldn't worry, right? But you could call him Avram Avraham. So Amalei, so he said unto him, hey, hold it. When the Pasuk, you know, it happens to be taken from Nehemiah, it says, you know, you are God who chose Avram and you took him out of Ur Kasim and made his name, you know, Abraham, right? So he says there, the Navi is only speaking about the praise of God. And what is he doing in speaking the praise of God? He says, he's explaining, you know, what was at first. At first, his name was Avram, and then God decided to change his name to Avraham. Okay?
Isn't there a halacha named Atai?
Excuse me?
What's that? Haderach halacha?
Where is that?
Hadaran, I'm sorry.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, right. He says to him, you know, in the case of Yaakov, right?
Yeah.
Says Elamiata Kirli Yaakov Yaakov Ochiname, right? It should also be the same. In other words, it should also be considered transgression if you call him Yaakov. So he says Shani Hasan. It's different in the case of Yaakov, right? The Hodera Hadre Kra, because afterwards the Torah itself repeated the name, in other words, of Yaakov. It went back again and called him Yaakov. Dichsiv, and as is written, Vayomer Elokim Dichsiv Ma'asad, either way, Yaakov, Yaakov. So that's what it is, okay? Lahader means to go back,
no,
to return, or to go after or something, right?
No, I'm sorry, I confused you. This is my fault. I was so excited. We got to Philippi after my Ikra. In the big print, it says Hedron. I think it's Hedron, Alecha.
Okay,
sorry,
right.
Sorry about that.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Over here, it says Hadron, Alach, Me'e Mosai. Okay?
Hadron,
Alach. Right, which means literally, may we return to you, Me'e Mosai. This is the traditional at the conclusion of every chapter in the Talmud, and of course at the end of the entire Masechta, we have what we call the Hadron. You see that it's written, you know, Hadron Allah, and it means literally, may we return to you, Me'e Mosai. In other words, just the fact that we have finished learning this particular parak doesn't mean that we want to, to learn and forget about it.
We
come
back
to come
what
back
is
again.
Me'e
Mosai is the name of this first chapter, because it begins with what word? Me'e Mosai Kor Nishma
V'Yavin.
That's
right.
So that's the reason.
Very good.
Why. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm so.
Hey, David. David.
That's the first
very
word
good.
There.
Very
David,
good.
You know when Hillel said, he says, "Lo habayishon lomi," that a person who is too bashful to ask questions, he won't
learn. That's right.
It's a very important principle in pedagogy.
Okay.
Just as when he turns the tables and he says, "Lo hakaptan lomi," you know, a person who is always getting angry at whatever is being asked of him, or he's overly strict or something like that, but he's not a good teacher. He's not like a teacher.
That's right.
So if Hillel said that, there's something, you know, you can rely upon.
So the final conclusion is that it's okay to call Avram Avraham.
No,
I thought that's what
No, the final conclusion is that over there, why was the Navi not transgressing?
Oh, why was he not transgressing?
Right, why was he not transgressing? I mean, because, you know, this is the rejoinder given by the person, you know, who says that it is either an affirmative
commandment
or a negative commandment, right? You know, not to call Avram anymore Avram, but call him Abraham from this point on. So why does the Navi then come afterwards and say, you are God who chose Avram, right? Asher b'chart to be Avram, who takes him your kastim, right? He took him out of Ur kastim, Samto Shmo Avraham, and you gave him the name, right? You made him Avraham. So he says, now the Navi was not violating anything at that particular point, because what he was doing was, in praise of God, he was telling, you know, what God did. Yeah. What did God do?
God
changed,
it.
Right, among other things, he changed the name of Avraham to Abraham. Right?
Okay.
So it's only recounting, exactly. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so now we start the second parak tonight. Let's see what time is it.
26.
Yeah, we'll learn a little bit further. At least down to the bottom of the page. All right.
So now we're in parak.
Yeah, now we're starting the second parak, right, which is called Hoyakore. Why is it called Hoyakore? It's the first two words of the Mishnah.
That's a very good reason.
Of course. All right. Hoyakore Batorah. If a man happened to be reading the Torah, the Igiyaz Bana Mikva, the time has come to recite, not strictly to recite what? To recite Krishna. In other words, this is still a continuation of problems connected with Shema Yisrael. Okay? In the first parak, of course, we learned all kinds of dinim concerning what is the right time to do it, what do we mean by Bishachbuchov Kumecho, right?
And when we should read it.
When we should, and so on. All right, so now we have other problems connected with Kriya Shema that we're going to have to discuss as well. So the first thing that we are discussing right now is a very important principle, and that is a principle that we call Kavanah.
Uh-huh.
All right, what is Kavanah? Well, Kavanah means that you have to have the intention of performing the mitzvah, okay? This is what we mean by Kavanah. Okay, so, Oya Kori Batorah, if a man happened to be reading the Torah, the Higiyas Manavikra, and the time came to recite Krishna. So, im kivein libo yotza. If he decided, you know, that at the time when he was reading in the Torah and he came to the Parsha, the Shema Yisrael, the Hoyim Shemoa, the, you know, Vayomer, that he wanted to fulfill the obligation of reciting Shema at that particular point, then we say he has fulfilled his obligation. Now, obviously, there are a couple of problems over there. Problem number one is, I mean, we have to try to understand under what circumstances was he reading. But, you know, let's say a person happened to be going either through a Sefer Torah, so we'll see that this is one suggestion that's given, or maybe, you know, let's say he was studying Chumash or something like that, and in the course of his studies of Chumash he came across it. Now, im kivein libo, if his intention was at the time when he read it, that, oh, by studying this, I also intend to fulfill my obligation to recite the Kriya Shema, then in that case, he has fulfilled his obligation. But obviously, what's the reverse? In lo kivein, you know, if he did not have in mind to do so, then in that case, he has not fulfilled his obligation. It means that he has to say the Shema with the intention of reciting the Shema. He must fulfill. Of course, another problem that we have is mentioned in the Tosfos at the top of the page. Hoyakore. You see it? Very
yes,
first,
right,
top line.
Yeah.
Okay, it says, im kivein libo yotzo. It says, v'yushalmi, in the Yerushalmi Gemara, it says, amrinon barokos inon miyakos. The conclusion over there is given that the fact that you did not recite the brachos for the Shema, this is not an impediment to being able to get the credit, so to speak, for reciting the Shema. Right.
To
be mankind the mitzvah of Kriya Shema.
By the brachos, you mean
right,
the preceding brachos that you're supposed
correct
to be preceding.
Correct. The Afal Pi, in other words, that even though Shelo Omar Shtayim Lefoneho, the two brachos before the Shema, Ushtayim Leachreho, and the two brachos that follow, of course, Shtayim Leachreho would be at night, because in the morning it would be only one after, Emes V'yatziv. But at night you have Emes V'emuna and you have Hashivenu, as we learned, okay? Alright, so Yotzah, even though he didn't recite the brachas before or after, nevertheless, you know, he was Yotzah with the idea, you know, with his obligation to recite the Shema. The Im Lo came, because if not, if this were not the case, Tikshe my Mahani. You would say, you know, how does this help? I mean, that Im Kivein Libo, you know, that, that if he had in mind, you know, to fulfill. Because Harelo Berach Techilot. Because if this were not so, you know, that you would say that Brachas Einon Meyakbos, in other words, that the blessings, the fact that he didn't recite the Brachas, is not an impediment to fulfilling the mitzvah reciting Krishma, then, you know, we would say, how could you say Kavona if the man is reading, right? And how could you say that he fulfilled his obligation if we insist that what? That he has to say the brachas before he could do it. You understand?
No, you lost me a little bit. Could you just go through what the Tosafot said?
Tosafot says say that in the Yerushalmi they say as follows.
Right.
Okay? That the very fact that, you know, the Mishnah here says that im kivein libo, if he had the intention to fulfill the mitzvah, simply by, you know, while he was reading the passages of the Krishna in the Torah, in the Chumash, okay? So it would show then, says the Rishalmi, that the brachos, the fact, in other words, that you have not recited the brachos, this is not an impediment, ma'akbos, right? It's not an impediment
to getting credit for reciting
the Shema. No, it's not a proof of the Kavana. The fact that you have not recited the Brachot doesn't
Ma'akbos.
How do you say prevent?
Ma'akbos.
Ma'akbos,
right.
Kavana.
Correct. Because
why, what is the reasoning for this?
Well, the reasoning is very simple, because how could you say that he would get credit, you know, for reciting the Shema, if this is what his intention was, when he has not yet said
the brachas?
The brachas. If you say that the brachas must be recited first, so in that particular case, look, by reciting the brachas, you already are having in mind the Kabbalah.
You understand? Express the
convention. Whereas here, we're dealing with a case where a man is reading, he's studying Torah, whatever it may be.
Comes across the paragraph.
And he comes across the paragraph, and he says, oh, I want to be yotzei with this right now, because it's now the right time, you know.
The right time to recite the Shema.
So it
maybe
would show then that the
Yerushalmi says that if a man comes to Kriyat Shema, and there are brachot there, correct?
No.
The Mishnah, if you remember, in the first chapter said that there are two blessings before, right? And in the morning there are two blessings before, it says, and one blessing after.
Right.
In Myriv, in Arvid, right? So you have two blessings before and two blessings after. Okay?
All right.
So, what Taisvus is saying is that the Yerushalmi says that the brachas do not, they're not an impediment to reciting. In other words, if you want to fulfill the obligation of reciting Krishna, you don't have to have the brachas beforehand.
If you come across it in that fashion.
Right, in this particular fashion, of course.
they're so saying you are yotze that way.
Right, you're yotze, right.
In other words, you can say the Kriyat Shema without any addition.
Right.
Only in this fashion, I gather from
the all right. I mean, it's being restricted, so to speak.
Yeah, it's being restricted.
Correct. But nevertheless, I mean, the basic idea, right. But the basic idea, according to Rishalmi, would be that the brachas in themselves are not an impediment to getting the credit if you have the kavana that you want to be yotze. That's all that they're saying.
They're not a requirement.
Correct.
To have
correct. I mean, we know that they are a requirement, but nevertheless, the Krishna overweighs, you know, the fact that you want to fulfill the obligation of saying Krishna overweighs, so to speak, the fact that you have not recited
the
brachas before or after. Okay?
That's what Yerushalmi says.
Yeah, that's what Yerushalmi says.
And this is the halacha for us.
Well,
I don't know.
There are times maybe when this is so, okay? But normally it's not. We are required to say the brachas before and so on. Why? Because when we say the brachas, anyway, we are being put into the frame of mind that we want to be yotze, you know, with the mitzvah, to be mekayim in the mitzvah of reciting Krishna.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you about
right.
the reasoning, because this
right.
reasoning seems more acceptable to us, what you just
yes.
said. You
yeah.
see, you're both nodding, right?
No.
All right, okay, I'm sorry. All right, very good. All right,
okay,
good.
Now he asks a different question in Taisvis, because based upon something we had in the previous chapter, a couple of pages back. It says, V'yim tomar ho b'perakama, and if you argue as follows, that in the first chapter, Brochus Maskinen, we came to a conclusion that say the Brochus ain't miakbos, right? That the order of the Brochus do not hinder. In other words, let's say if you would say, Avo Rabo before saying Yotziro. Alright? So we said, and in that particular case, you know, Brochus ain't miakbos, right? Ho Brochus miakbos. But nevertheless, the idea that you have to say Brochus, this is. In other words, according to what we learned back there, maybe the order is not as important
as just saying the brachas.
But we have to say brachas in any case prior to the Krishna,
Krishna
just as we have to say after. And if we don't, then we have not fulfilled the obligation. This is what, you know, the Gemara is, this is what Tosfos is trying
it
to
even holds
like
true
that.
When you say the Shema for Shalamita before you go to bed.
Well, the Krishna Shalamita, don't forget, this already is not part of Myra.
I realize.
I mean,
that.
When we say the brachas, we're talking about the brachas of Mar. We're not talking about the brachas.
I understand that, but
okay.
But don't they precede it by a bracha also there?
Yes. Although some people say it at the end and so on, and you know, they say if you can't fall asleep, then
okay.
So yeah, b'chol brachas makbos, but you have to say brachas. Okay,
right.
Maybe not the order and so on. V'yesh lomar, and another explanation is the hosam ayrei b'tzibur. There, where we said that the Seder HaBrachos, in other words, the order in which the Brachos are said, is not an impediment, that only refers to a congregation, and specifically what congregation? That was, if you remember, we had a quotation that in the Beis HaMikdash Shomar Lehem HaMemuna, right, that the Kohen who was in charge said to them, okay, now it's time. Read Krishna, do this or that, and then recite a bracha and something like that. Okay, and we didn't know which bracha they said. Was it Ava Rabba?
We didn't know which.
Right, we didn't know whether it was Ava Rabba, whether it was Yotziror. So that is a special situation applying to a specific tzibur, a specific congregation. But they canamidikatam all the hemamamuna. You get this from, you know, looking precisely at the fact that it says that the Mamuna, the man in charge, you know, the Kohen in charge, said this to them. But what does it mean? It means if a person is not a tzibur, in other words, the individual, or maybe, let's say, even any tzibur which is not within the Beis HaMikdash, right? There's no question, not only that you have to say brachas, but also that the order of the brachas is
important
too. That's the point. Yeah. This is what Tesis is trying to tell us over here.
So
all right, getting back to the mission. So the first thing that we...
Sorry,
yeah.
So is Tosafot also saying that not only are the brachot a mandatory requirement, they
yes.
are not a mandatory requirement for the Kabbalah, for Kriyat Shema.
Right, as the Yerushalmi understands it. Correct.
As the Yerushalmi understands it.
But right.
also that the Seder, the order,
right.
is also not a requirement. Does
in Marcos, right, because this is what we learned going back a page or two. But that was based upon the incident in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the reasons the given over there in the Beis HaMikdash, if you go back again and reread it, you'll see, is because the sacrifice, you know, the tomid shel shachar, okay, the sacrifice, the daily morning sacrifice, this was started already right after they saw the morning star. You know, and this was even before actual daylight had begun. So it means, you see, that if they said a bracha, it was Avo Rabo before Shema Yisrael. But Yotzeror, since it wasn't yet the time really to say Yotzeror, since, you know, it wasn't light enough yet, so that said that they could come back afterwards and recite that bracha. So from that we learned that the Seder HaBrachas is Loma Akvas, that, you know, there's no, it doesn't impede upon the fact that, you know, you say the Shema and you get your, you know, your Yotzer, right, you get your credit, your Mekayim and Mitzvah by doing so. All right, but as you see, from the point of view of Tosfos over here, based upon the Rishonim, it says, well, that's a special case, but forget about what the Rishonim is saying, forget about what we learned before. The fact of the matter is that for us, as individuals, as a tzibur, not in the Beis HaMikdash, so we should say the brachas before Krishna, and we should also
say them in the right order.
Say them in the right order, right. So of course that would mean what the Mishnah says over here, Hoyakori Batora, the Gezban Amikra, in Kivein Libo Yotso, right? It's more a theoretical situation than it is
an actual
situation.
The actual practice is
right. The actual practice is right. So that we say the brachas before
and after.
Exactly. So, the things that are asked, you know, because of the theory.
Yerushalmi had this idea. It's interesting. Why Yerushalmi had the idea that you did not need to say the brachot and bo na de hakabana to say the Shema. Why did they have
because
this idea?
Because, as we said, you know, because if you take the pshat of the Mishnah, in Kivein Libo, they're not talking about brachas. What are they talking about? They're talking about, did you intend that this passage that you're reading should be in fulfillment of the Shema? None of that case the Yotzer. And no mention is made even in brachas in that particular
situation.
There
could be many reasons for that.
Right.
There could be many reasons not to interrupt the Torah.
I would say, you know, Bishas Hatchak, whatever it may be, you know, if you don't have time for the brachas and so on, at least say Krishna even without brachas. You're already getting a mitzvah, you see, based upon this. Certainly, I would say, you know, there are people who they can barely stagger through the Shema Yisrael. Never mind, you know, all the prayers before and after.
But
at least if they could say it, then they would do it with the kavanah that they want to recite the Shema. So they're already fulfilling a mitzvah.
That's during the tefillah. But if they're reading the Torah, they may not have the kavanah.
Well, they don't have the kavanah.
They have problems with the Yerushalmi.
Okay.
What if they're reading in the Talmud and they say, oh, Shema Yisrael?
The Yerushalmi doesn't say that if they don't have the kavanah,
that they say it doesn't say that. It says that,
you know, they're interpreting the Mishnah, which says if they had the intention.
They just don't have to stop.
Right.
The actual literal translation, Imkivein Libo, is
literally if he directed his heart.
Heart. Libo,
right,
is
exactly.
Like,
that's the exact translation of what it means. Okay. Let's continue with the Mishnah. I think I'll stop at the end of the Mishnah.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay. Now they ask the following question, or make the following statement. It says, "Beprokim shoel mipnei hakavod umeshiv." At the breaks, and we'll discuss what are the breaks in a moment, a man is permitted to ask someone how he is because he wants to, you know, he has to honor that particular person. Or umeshiv, if somebody of this importance comes to him and says to him, you know, good morning, or hi, or shalom, or something like that, then at the break, he's permitted to interrupt the Shema Yisrael and give him an answer. Uvi emsa, but if he's in the middle of a paragraph, then shoel nifnei hayira, he's permitted to ask someone of whom he is afraid, or whom he reverences. There are two interpretations as to what this means. Umeshiv, and he is permitted to answer. This is where? In the middle of one of the paragraphs. Divri Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir says. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtza shoel mipnei hayira. He says, in the middle of the paragraph, he is permitted to interrupt in order to ask someone how he is, if he is, you know, or to greet someone, you know, who he's afraid of. And if somebody comes and says in the middle of the Shema to him, oh, hi, or something like that, so he is permitted, if he, you know, he has to show honor to this person, he's permitted to interrupt and say hi back to him, and then, you know, and then not continue reading the Shema Yisrael. And when it comes to the breaks, he says, show nehakovot. Then he can ask anybody who wants to, that he wants to show respect to. And he's permitted to answer anyone who greets him, not just, you know, someone to whom he has to show either reverence or respect or fear or something like that. Okay? So now they define Elohim Beinam Prokim. This is what we mean when we say, in the breaks, literally between the various portions, between the various chapters. Bein Brocha Rishon Lishnia. For example, one break is between the end of the first bracha, in other words, Yoseh HaMiyoros,
right?
And the beginning of the second one, Ahava Rava. Or Amar, of course, would also be, you know, between Amar and Harovim and the Ahava Selam, okay? So that's one break, okay? Okay. Next break would be Bein Shniyo Lishma, between the ending of the second bracha and the first paragraph of the Shema. Okay? Then Bein Shema the Hoyom Shema, right? In other words, between the first paragraph and the second paragraph. Okay? And the Hoyom Shema Le Vayomer, and between the Hoyom Shema to Vayomer. And then Bein Vayomer, between Vayomer to the MSB, but Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bein vayomer le MSB yasif lo yasik," says that you should not interrupt between vayomer and MSB yasif. And actually, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in this particular case. We shouldn't interrupt over there. That's already considered a no-no as far as making the break. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Kocho. So now Rabbi Yehoshua ben Kocho asks the following, makes the following statement. He says, "Lomo kodmo parsha shema v'hoyim shema." Why does the paragraph of the Shema come before the v'hoyim shema? So he says the reason is kidei sheyakabel olav ol malchus shemaim techilov yachakach bekabel olav ol mitzvos. The reason is that first he has to accept upon himself literally the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, to acknowledge God as our sovereign, that's why we say Shema Yisrael first. And after that, Mekabel Olav Ol Mitzvos. You know, the fact that we have to perform mitzvahs which are adhered to, which are referred to in the second paragraph. Right. Now, why does V'hoyim Shema come L'Vayomer before Vayomer? So he says, because V'hoyim Shema Noheg Bein Vayomer Lailom, the reason being that what is appropriate in this paragraph, you know, is applicable both in the daytime and in the night, whereas Vayomer eino noheg ela Vayom bilvad. Whereas Vayomer is applicable only to the day, and of course this is in accordance with the idea where we said before that because it deals with tzitzis, and tzitzis is only required during the day, so this is the reason why. Okay, I think I'm going to stop at this particular point. Next week in Yotzah Hashem we'll continue from here, and if we have any questions to go over the Mishnah, I'll review the Mishnah again briefly.
In 1990,
right? You're on. All right. Okay. Suppose I'll have to investigate in a place like Sound Playground or something. Or what do you think the Radio Shack would be good for? $30.
You know what you're doing?
Their products are fine. Maybe they'll have a markdown.
Who is that? Pace Haver?
Yeah.
That should be the best one around right now.
Very good idea. Thank you very much for reminding me.